went through the woods and forest lay thy wonder, and hid a bird sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
I'm going to hate to leave. I'm going to have a lot of good memories traveling back down the road to Danville. Well, it's been a good visit, and you've been so kind to me, and I'm glad to have been here. But the greatest of all those blessings are that I've heard the gospel preached, and that's from the courts of glory itself. John was told by direction of Jesus to go remind John again when John was in prison, knowing his execution would be shortly come to pass. John was sent direction by John's disciples from Jesus to remind John and tell him again all the great miracles of God. The lame walking. You don't really appreciate that unless you've ever been lame. The blind shall see. We just read over John chapter 9 like it's just a story. Really don't appreciate the blind man's story or the blind Bartimaeus unless you've been blind. So we see here, children of God, that Jesus says, the dead shall be raised. Still don't understand that in a real way. The Lord only shows us a glimpse of His glory. And then Jesus in the same verse says, and the poor shall have the gospel preached to them.
Amen.
Same miracle. Jesus doesn't have to have a little more power to heal the dead and a little less to deliver the gospel to you. God of heaven doesn't operate in decrees. He's just God. That's already been preached. But He always shows us, that I've seen, just a glimpse of His glory, like He did Moses and the prophets of old. I was reminded, I've got an old wooden garage behind the house built about 1940. I went out to get my lawnmower and I noticed a little brown, looked like a sack up there. Just a insignificant something. And as I moved the gate, it busted open and it must have been hundreds of little spiders just run out. Well, I took notice of it real quick. Well, on face value, that looked insignificant. But that was the glory of the mother. It was hundreds. You've seen it. They were running everywhere. It made me back up. So the Lord only, we couldn't stand His blessings no more than what He allows us to have. But we sometimes don't see His glory that's already been preached. You know, you may have heard some stories of people that have been pulled from a burning vehicle, and it's a great event. They may have been saved from all type of situations. And it's a great event when the two parties get back together. You've seen it on television. Oh, there's the man that saved my life. If it hasn't been for him, We've heard stories of soldiers that are decorated from top to bottom because they give their life or they save men from being killed. Well, sometimes, children of God, we do honor people, but sometimes it's seemingly insignificant, and we often have to wonder just what. As Job said, the Redeemer, the one that redeems with payment, means. And sometimes we forget. As the Apostle Paul will remind us in Ephesians chapter 2. I appreciate your kind attention. I love you. I hope that I haven't done you any harm. But I want to remind you of the great gospel that the Apostle Paul preached to the church at Ephesus. We've read it over and over. We've heard it preached. But it's sometimes like almost insignificant exactly what the Lord has done for us. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, "And ye hath he quickened who were dead."
Right.
And you know, that's seemingly, the more we read it, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." What a miracle of God.
Amen.
That he would actually have mercy upon us and make us alive. It didn't say, "And you and the preacher hath quickened you." It doesn't say you were just soul sick. It doesn't say you were having a bad life. You were dead. That means non-responsive to stimuli.
Right.
The ER people come on the scene and someone may say, "There's no life. The heartbeat is gone. He's been dead for 15 minutes. Well, the rescuer don't say, "Well, get the medicine out. Let's just try." Dead means dead.
Right.
It doesn't mean sick.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul will tell us in the first chapter that he chose us in him, and we're his workmanship, and this is a great truth of God. In Acts chapter 6, the disciples say, "Lord, how are we going to feed this 5,000? That's another insignificant 75 verses, I think, in John chapter 6. The Lord feeding the 5,000 with the little lad there. The Lord shows us in the first verses, the Lord doesn't require our help to bless His people.
No.
Now, we are a blessing to His people, and that's our duty that's already been preached to us, and it's a great joy to do it. We can either be encouraging, or we can be discouraging. We can build the church up, like Paul told the church at Ephesus later, or we can tear it down. But the Lord shows us in the early verses of John chapter 6, the Lord doesn't need you to go out and catch all the fish you can catch. The Lord don't need you to help. You go, "I will feed them." You make the men sit down. The Lord didn't need the men to gather up the fish, to fry them up, to get the tables ready. Make the men sit down. And then it tells us in another way that we often look over in John chapter 6. All that we most of the time remember about John chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. And we forget the 44th verse, "No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him." Why is that? We sometimes forget because the people, Jesus says with his own mouth, "You're here for the miracles. I mean, you're not here for me. You're here for what you can get out of me." That's what he's saying. But John chapter 6 is just like that spider's pouch. We sometimes, it's so insignificant, we think that we just read right over it. We see there Jesus says, "Make the men sit down." And he feeds. And then the great story that I've often mentioned that touches my heart. And John records, "There's a lad here." How many times have I said that? "There's a lad here." Well, what's so significant about that lad? If it wasn't for the lad, the whole story changes. The Lord is showing us that I don't need you. Make the men sit down. And you take this little lad with this little bag with the fish and the barley loaves, and I'll feed all of them. And by the way, the work that the Lord done is never insignificant. If it's anything left, gather them up. The Lord never wastes His glory and His power and blessings. The Lord never sent a blessing to us that we could just use part and cast off the rest.
Amen.
So Jesus tells the church at Ephesus, and you had he quickened. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing to see? Not you and the preacher, not you and the soul saver, not you and the saintly grandmother. The Lord quickened you and you weren't sick. You were dead. Right. No ability to come to God. Well, how do I know that I'm not still dead? Do you love God? Do you pray to Him? I didn't ask you, had you been baptized yet? If you haven't and you love God, it's time to be baptized. Amen. It's time to show the people, I don't deserve to be here, but I want to walk with you. I want to grow with you. I want to be around you. I want to cry with you. That's what Ruth said to Naomi. I want your God to be my God. I want to live with you. I want to die with you. I want to be a part of it. So if you're not baptized, and you love the Lord, that's because He's quickened you. And if you were the only person on earth, He would do it in the same way. That's the reason He used that word, ye, and ye hath He quickened. The Lord God of heaven reaches His children. John the Baptist was born of something that hadn't been given yet. He was born of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. It said that John leaped for joy in his mother's womb. There are men that say John really did have the Holy Spirit when he leaped with some kind of spirit, and it ain't but one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he used that spirit and touched John in his mother's womb, and he leaped for joy. Listen, children of God, Paul is telling us something here that's so significant. And ye have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Listen, children of God, we have a baptizing at Old Mill. A little sister came, and I was several years ago, that had been in the community. She's in the service now. I hope she'll come back next year. She served her time, and she come there and said, "Brother Jamie, I know you won't have me, but I want to join." I said, "Sister, why do you think we won't have you?" But I didn't tell you. It's just their day. I don't want to take you. It was Kelly and Jason. She said, I don't want to take nothing. She was a trembling Mary. She was a trembling jailer, and she was at the water's edge. She said, "I don't want to take nothing away from their day." I said, "Listen, this is not their day. This is your day. Listen, children of God, He quickened us individually, the God of heaven, and we were stuck. So when we get into the water, this is your third trip. The mud, if you've ever been in a creek, more than a creek, more like a stream, when you first get in it, when it's been a lot of rain, there's a lot of mud. And the mud, pull my shoes off. Listen to you. And this little tiny sister was helping me pull me to the water enough to baptize her. And that's, listen, children of God, we get stuck. We get sometimes in bad position. We weren't just sick, we were dead. And sometimes we forgot who saved us. We quickly remember the soldier that pulled us out of the burning tank. We quickly remember, and that should be remembered, of the mother that gave all that she had for her children. And that's wonderful attributes of God. But we may never forget what Jesus saved us from. He saved us from hell. Brother Stan mentioned yesterday, and you weren't able to come to Him. I couldn't have. Those shoes, the shoes, I'll guarantee you, it's still in that mud somewhere, because that mud mired up to my legs and it sucked my shoes off. I was stuck and I had no ability to get out. And this dear sister was pulling her old pastor out of the mud. And so listen, we get stuck like that. We were more than stuck. We were dead. "And ye had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And then He has mercy on us. Then He gives us something that we don't deserve. And we're in times past. Listen, children of God, we are a people about decisions. Listen, we can't act good enough to bring the blessings of God on our life. But we can follow Him the way it pleases Him. What I mean is, you can't say, "You know what, I've done everything good this week, so the Lord's going to bless me." That it don't work like that. But you can walk in a good way. You can pray for the meeting. You can say, "Lord, bless the preachers." Yes. "Lord, let him keep preaching. Lord, don't cut him off." We can walk, and we are a product of our walk. You know, Enoch was mentioned yesterday. It says Enoch walked with God, and God took him. You know what? God took me this weekend. Yesterday, me and Brother Gary got home, and I got a call from my wife, pictures, and the men digging next door in their yard looked like they had dug right up into my septic tank. I'm telling Brother Gary, "You know what? I don't want to go. I may have to leave here. And for just a second there, all of the glory, all of the beautiful meeting we had yesterday, I'm thinking, Lord, I want to act like I'm happy. I've got to go home. I'm thinking more about home than I am here, children of God. Listen, but I'm telling you, I said, Lord, take me. Lord, take me. You know, the Lord's going to come take you one day in that final breath. In the resurrection day, He'll take us holy. But the Lord takes us here in time. You can be caught away just like a mother, a son or a child may be at school. I've experienced this and having a terrible time, seemingly like they have no friends. But mama's on the way. Daddy's on the way. And as soon as you see mama's face, you're taken away out of this world. The Lord takes us. So I'm thinking, Lord, take me. Lord, help this situation. Lord, it's like Daniel said, there's a God in heaven. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I understand that this is a bad situation. Daniel would say, listen, I understand there's real lions, and I understand that these lions are starved and they're hungry. They're not friendly zoo lions. They're ready to eat when I'm cast in. I understand all of that, Daniel would say, but I'm not bowing down to you. Why wouldn't you bow down, Daniel? Everybody else is bowed down. Why won't you bow down? And Daniel said, but there's a God in heaven that interprets dreams. He knew there was a God in heaven, not somebody up there wringing their hands, not ones up there thinking, you know what? He will if you will. No, He's a great God of the universe that's been preached, and He's in heaven, and He quickened you and just you. Amen. Now, there's an innumerable host that He's done the same thing to, but He says in that second verse, but in times past, look, you were just like these other folks. Mercy, something withheld from you that you deserved. But in times past. So I got the call, and my wife went out there and looked, took pictures of everything, and everything looks good. And then my next door neighbor that owned the house called me. Oh, he wants to go into all this detail. You know, I'm thinking, look, I got to get back to where we were. Listen, Brother Jason. Listen, Jason. Did you hit my septic tank? No, but let me. I said, oh, it doesn't nothing else matter. Did you hit your lines? No, we're not in your yard. Wonderful, brother. Wonderful. He wanted to give me a big story. No, no. I want to be taken back to where I was when I left the church. And how easily Paul would tell us here that we're in times past. You walked. That's an action. Do you know there's a faith by walks? Absolutely it is. And it's not a walk good enough to go to heaven. It's not a walk good enough to... we are to walk and follow Him. But the Apostle Paul is saying here that He has made you alive. He's made you alive. And you weren't just sick. You were dead in trespasses and sin. So I went to eat supper last night with Stan and Sister Sharon and Gary. Had a wonderful supper. Brother Gary come out of the Cracker Barrel. I said, you know what? I feel better. I feel better. Apostle Paul is telling us here, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. He was talking about children of God. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient, among whom also we all had our conversation. Paul, you mean even you? You don't think you are a product of your environments? If we don't think that God is a God of mercy, if you think God owes us this blessing, we're terribly wrong. The Apostle Paul, his childhood was in the Jewish world. He was a Jew among the Jews. He done all that he knew to do, following the law perfectly, he said. I mean, he said, I'm head and shoulders above people in my Jewish religion. He was a product of that environment. So he just knew he was right. He was a godly man. You know, people will argue, was Paul saved on the day of the road of Damascus, or was he converted? What difference does it make? Sometimes we just argue about how hot the furnace is. What difference does it make? It was hot. We do know this. Paul was this, and now he's this. And it's for one reason and one reason alone. Not because Paul decided to change his mind. Grace and mercy was shown to him. He was a product of this. In times past, We always look at our past. Jesus tells us not to look behind us. Paul was a product of his Jewish environment, and all he was doing it, he was a zeal. He had a zeal about him. Saul of Tarsus, that was the man's name. Oh, he's coming down the road to Damascus. But you know what? When the Lord struck him down, he had a whole new way to walk. He had a whole new environment, and he left, and he said he didn't take this in vain. So we sometimes think, you know, but my past is absolutely, we've all got a story. That's the good news of mercy here. And you have the quickened. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Has the Lord, have you felt the Lord in your heart? You know, Peter on one occasion, he didn't say, boys, you know, I use that. Us Southern Virginia boys use that a lot. I was with two older preachers last weekend and I said, boys, I think I've said it here. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I really don't. The Apostle Paul here, children of God, is telling us something so, so wonderful. And you had the quicken when times passed and walked according to this world. Where were you yesterday? Children of God, the Apostle Peter didn't say, boys, anybody want to be baptized? He said, repent. That's a word we don't hear it much anymore. That means turn from this direction and follow. Repent. Repent. And be baptized. What does that mean? But I hadn't got everything right. Okay, that was back here in times past. Do you love the Lord? Do you want to follow Him? Publicly show it. Repent. That means turn from this. That's what Paul is telling us in times past. Turn from this and follow the Lord. So I would encourage you. This book right here has saved me. Now, it didn't save me for heaven. Let me repeat that. This book does not save anybody from heaven. Let me say it again. Preaching does not is not what puts the last nail in the coffin to get you home to glory. It doesn't. But this book has delivered my very life. Amen. In my 64 years here. And I love Him more now. I can't tell you. And I hope it's the same tomorrow. If it ain't, I ain't going to tell you. But I'm telling you this. This book is my lifeline. It's about the man that not only came here and all the wonderful glories of a God in heaven, but I'm going to tell you right now, children of God, He saved me from total, eternal destruction. And I want everybody to know that He's mine and He's all mine and I love Him and whatever He wants me to do, Mary, His mother, said, whatever He says do it, you do it. And the first thing I want to do is stand up and tell the church at a young age, trembling and listen, you're not going to have me. Listen, children of God, I don't want to walk here anymore. I want, and you're probably not going to have me. Lord, do I say most wonderful words of pastoring here? I know you're not going to have me. Oh, we've been waiting for you. That's the most wonderful words a pastor wants to hear, because the Lord has showed His humility to your heart and to your soul. And you've realized, you know what? As Paul will say in the second verse, I walked this way in the past and I've tried, but I know that I love you. I can't denied myself that I love you. There's a movie that I love on one of the movie channels. Young Mr. Lincoln, back in the 40s. I don't know when they made it. About Abraham Lincoln. And it's just a story. I don't know if this actually happened. But they accused her two sons, sons at a get-together in the olden days back in the 1800s of murder. Of course, they didn't do it. And they brought the mother saw what happened, and they brought the mother in the court, and they wanted her to choose. If you'll just choose one, we'll let the other one go. And she says, I can't do that. Now, this is just a movie, but it's an illustration of love. Who could deny? Do you love your mother? Can anybody ever make you deny that? Do you have a husband or a wife, a child? Could anybody ever, if they put you in a room and says, you know, you're not coming out of here until you deny, you know what, my mother that's in heaven since the year 2000, I couldn't deny her if I wanted to. But you know what? Jesus says, Paul says, He has quickened us. He's made us alive. And not just helped you, but saved us from a burning hell. And the Apostle Paul here said, you in times past walked according to the course of the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as those. As Paul was saying here, listen, children of God, if anybody knows my life, you'll know. The time is gone. If anybody would know my life, Paul wants to tell us real quickly, we're all one big lump of undone clay. That's what he's saying. But the Lord chose you. Wasn't a reason to choose you, but He chose you. So He's telling us, don't be. Oh, who can deny? Who can deny? Listen, children of God. I've told my wife, we celebrated 45 years the other day. If she's sweeter now than she's ever been in the other years, even since I've turned into this. But I'm telling you this, children of God, I couldn't deny the love that we've grown over the years. Just riding in the car together. Look, I'm a Hancock. You may think that I bet he's the most wonderful. It ain't happening, I'm telling you. I'm just what I am. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. We're all in this together. And He didn't just save us for a good time. He saved us from a burning hell. And He says, oh, we ought to love Him. We ought to claim Him. And we should not deny Him. We may have denied Him yesterday. We need to repent and follow Him and say, listen, I know you probably wouldn't have me, but live with you. If a church will have me, I want to show publicly that I love the Lord. I want to follow Him as He's commanded me to do. And Paul is telling this to the church at Ephesus here, and the most wonderful story. And then He'll tell you why you love Him. He'll tell you real why. This is good stuff. It's been preached over and over and over. And these other preachers, it's not me, I guarantee you that. But then He tells you why you love Him. But God, I told Brother Gary this morning, that's the reason I can't talk. My mind races way ahead of my lips, and my lips don't speak too good to start with. But I hope you get what I'm saying. You weren't just sick, you were dead, and the Lord didn't just save you. He saved you from an eternal death. And we're all together, we was all together. Paul put himself in that same group. And then he tells us why we're living. But God, who is rich in mercy, that's a judgment withheld that you deserve. Amen. The judge may say, you're free. Wait a minute, judge. I was doing 100 miles an hour. I know I'm guilty. The judge will say, did you hear what I said? You're free. We didn't deserve this. So why did we get it? But God, who is rich in mercy, how can you describe love of God? And they say, here, great love. The zeal of thy house has eaten me up. Been in the old Baptist church over 40 years, and I know people that loves the house more than they love Jesus. We'll argue about issues that are insignificant and forget the great love and what it means to us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. This is a together thing. Oh, what would I do without y'all? What would I do without the church of God? What would I do without the memories of the old saints singing the songs of Zion? What would I do without hearing my mother and grandmother sing as they fixed the meals for the families? And I've often said that when I was little, everybody had grandma in the house somewhere. Grandpa. What would we do without the togetherness of the church? We're one body. The individual people. Search your minds. Search your hearts. The ones that I see here that have gone on to be with the Lord. We are set together in Christ with His great love. And hath, past tense, raised us up together. And made us set together. I'm a together person. in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He makes us realize it. He makes us, in other words, the Lord doesn't depend on you for Him to grant you blessings. My son, his wife, and my granddaughter's home this weekend. They come in this morning. My little granddaughter, Claire, she's be there sometime this afternoon. I love her. I've got a picture of her on my watch. I think about her. If you get around my wife, you know, I expect Sharon loves Leah. I expect we're sharing that. I expect she does. Because she talks about her. And you could tell the love. And last night, the storm, she wanted her close. Jesus is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, this is a together thing. It makes us to get set together. So as much as I love little Claire, I'll be happy when we're together, where I can actually see her and play with her. Jesus is as a spiritual kingdom in a world that He sets us together. The lion and the lamb sets down together. That's what He's talking about. I've heard men preach about if they would quit telling us everything they thought they knew, they'd start preaching the gospel. That's what they do. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The most basic doctrinal verse that's ever been quoted by mortal man is this. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and this not of yourself. It is a gift of God. I love you all. I will yearn for the day when I can come back. May the Lord bless you and keep you hedged about. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Thank you so much for your kind attention.